House Bill 5535, Senate Bill, Senate Bill 5534?
Yeah.
Senate Bill 5534. Board of Medical Examiners. Bruce, you wanna explain?
Yes. Mr. Chair, thank you. For the record, my name is John Britton with the Legislative Fiscal Office, and I want to bring you folks up to date on where we are with the Board of Medical Examiners as far as the budget is concerned. The handout behind the agenda in your notebooks describes what the agency does. It protects the public health, safety, well-being through the licensing of doctors, physician assistants, and acupuncturists. You'll notice that the agency's 9901 legislatively approved budget is about $5.7 million, 31 FTE. And I note here that for the 2001 Ways and Means Action, this budget was passed out of the Human Services Subcommittee of Ways and Means to the full committee, and it will likely be on this Friday's full committee agenda. The budget recommended by the subcommittee is about $6.2 million, and it includes one technology package of $62,160, and the subcommittee recommended that the Department of Administrative Services unschedule that limitation pending a review by this committee or by the JLC-IMT. The technology package of $62,160 is basically broken down along the four lines that I have listed at the bottom of this page. About $22,000 for hardware updates, about $11,000 for software updates, interactive web applications, $25,000, and a conferencing system of $4,000. And with that, I will turn it back to you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Hill, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kathleen Haley, and I'm the Executive Director for the Board of Medical Examiners. Rather than repeat what Mr. Britton has said about the Board of Medical Examiners, I'd really feel most comfortable in having Mr. Johnson take it over, and by just saying that we're really interested in improving the security of our information and the performance of our staff by reducing the cost of ownership and modernizing our equipment and improving desktop applications with this budget package. So with that, I'd turn it over to Mr. Johnson, who's our Assistant Executive Director.
Thank you. Chair Hill, good afternoon. For the record, my name is Bruce Johnson. Our package has four components to it, and one component involves replacing three servers. One of the servers we're proposing is to replace our firewall server for $2,200. The board's firewall server, which protects the board's computer network from security assaults, is obsolete. The present firewall server can be updated only if the board purchases a new memory card and a slot to put this card in for approximately $1,700. And given that a new one would cost $2,200, we thought it would be more cost effective to purchase a new one, which comes with the software. The second server that we're interested in replacing is our mail server for $9,800. Our email server handles all the board's email correspondence, both within the agency and from sources outside the agency. Both the hardware and the software for the server need to be replaced. The hardware no longer has the disk capacity we need, and the software needs to be updated so we can get some additional functionality that we don't have. For example, real-time virus scans of incoming email. Board staff have been.
I just want to be sure I'm on that we're on the same page.
Page two, Representative Hill, Senator Duncan, in the testimony and support
of package 151.
151, and I'm sorry, we're on page two.
Okay.
Second bullet.
Mr. Chairman, I guess it doesn't say Board of Medical Examiners.
Yes, yes.
From
this one.
There we go. Page two.
Oh.
This is the other one, then, Senator, is the response to the questions that we give out to all agencies.
Oh,
Mr. Hill, I'll continue.
Thank you.
Just to close on this mail server, I wanted to mention that we have been in close communication with IRMD staff, and there is agreement that a solution for our email concerns is needed. The third server we'd like to replace is our database server for $10,300. And this database server manages all of the board's mission-critical databases, including our investigative database, applications, licensing database, cash receipts, and malpractice. The server was put into operation in 1994, and it's reached an age where maintenance expenses are running us around $4,000, a little over $4,000 a biennium, and we think it would be more cost-effective to purchase a new server. The new server would have no maintenance costs for the first 3 years because when you buy new servers, that maintenance is bundled in with it. And in addition, the new servers have much greater capacity and run 10 to 20 times faster than our existing and current model. The second component of this package are some software upgrades, and there's two that I'd like to talk about. The first one is web and internet development software. The board's website provides public and licensees with general information. It provides them with license profile information, disciplinary information, and forms. The board has limited web development capabilities, making it difficult to build and document web pages. And we see that the web is really the way of the future in terms of saving the board time and money and being useful to our licensees. We'd like to continue to expand it, and to do that, it's essential to implement more sophisticated, time-saving, and user-friendly capabilities.
Let me interrupt you on the interactive web development application. Do you have a project plan?
The project plan basically is to identify the software. And our technical person who isn't with us today would have had that information with him, but we want to be able to buy the software and then be able to document the web pages better than we can right now. From what I understand, the person who does this work, it is more difficult than I think it needs to be, and she'd like to have something that would help her build these pages more efficiently. The website was hosted at one time on the DAS, with DAS, but we have found it more efficient to bring that development to the agency. So we want to continue along that path.
So where is the actual external web server hosted?
On the DAS backbone.
So, but you're doing development in-house?
That's right.
So is there a project plan for this? I mean, we've got $25,000 we're going to buy software. Is this for
$2,500? Oh, we really have
jumped to the $25,000.
I'm sorry, I'll be there.
So is
would
that,
you like me to go to that?
Yeah, let's just jump to that.
Okay.
Is there a project plan for that?
There's Chair Hill. There's two pieces to that interactive web development pilot project. The first pilot project is to fully automate our license verifications, and that piece is $10,000. And the project plan for that is to work with IRMD with this as a e-commerce project. And it would really be dependent on the state resolving some of the issues that I know they're bringing before the legislature this session.
Is there a project plan?
What we have done is we've submitted our project plan to IRMD. They've written it up as along with 18 other proposals, and we have an idea in house of what we want it to do, but we need to really wait and see what kind of specifications flow from DAS to know exactly what steps we're going to be able to take. We want to be ready internally and have the funding for it when DAS is ready.
So what if DAS isn't ready for a year and a half?
It would make sense to probably unschedule these funds but have them available to the agency so that we would be in a position to get on board when the rest of the state was. The second pilot project that we are proposing is our online registration pilot project for $15,000. And this is for registration. Registration is a process that, a term we use, but it's, what we do is we renew a license. We're renewing it either annually or biennially. The project is not e-commerce in that it only partly automates license renewals, because the licensee would still be required to send us payment and an original signature on a paper form once they have entered the information.
Can I ask a question why you require the signature and original written form?
Chair Hill, we really have been lucky as a state not to have someone posing as a physician who is, in fact, not, and other states have had that experience, that we're requiring that kind of authentication.
There, Chair Hill, there are questions, there are some 14 questions on this registration form.
But I'm just curious in terms of why you would require original written on a renewal. So if a stranger wanted to come and renew my driver's license and pay the fee, you know, it doesn't give him a license to practice medicine. It's just, you know, I'm just
right
trying to figure out in terms of what the purpose is. It drives from the fact that in the state we have passed digital signature. We now have federal government has passed the e-sign legislation, which says you don't require that, you don't need that for these other purposes. And I'm just curious if there is a specific reason why you need a written signature on something like this versus...
Chair Hill, there's nothing statutory that would require an original signature that we're aware of. However, we do ask a number of personal history questions, which would be the same as we ask for a new licensee. For example, have you committed, you know, have you been found guilty of a misdemeanor or a felony in the interim period? And those are the kinds of questions that we want to make sure that our licensees are signing rather than someone on their office staff.
The final piece in this package is our phone conferencing system for $4,000. The board would like to replace its conference phone because the one we are using is not designed for the size of our existing boardroom. Currently, we have to string wires and microphones around the room. Board members have to get up from their accustomed locations and to use a remote microphone. The wires present a physical hazard to our board members and to our staff members. I also wear the hat in our agency as risk manager, so it concerns me that there is an opportunity for injury here. The new portable phone conference system that are available still present limitations because they require remote microphones. The board's desired alternative is to integrate its telephone conferencing equipment within its board audio system. This built-in alternative presents the safest solution considering the size of our room.
Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee.
You know, under 4, phone conference system, $4,000. On the second line, you say currently we have to sting wires and microphones around the room. And, yeah,
string.
What?
String.
Oh, string. I don't think.
Sting operation.
Yes.
It's a covert operation.
I thought that's covert operations. Okay, it's string.
Any further questions? Any conversation in hearing the test, I would recommend that the unscheduled,
this is unscheduled right now, right?
Mr. Chair, it is already unscheduled, the whole package.
We recommend that we reschedule everything except for the $25,000 for interactive web and the $2,200 for the firewall, and the $2,200 is simply to coordinate with DAS. We have a new security officer, which we made permanent in their budget, to make sure that we are using consistent technologies across the board so that they start monitoring intrusion detection. There may be additional valued services that may be a better way to approach it from a central standpoint, and just have that discussion with DAS and the security officer that we have. And then I would recommend that just come back with a project plan for the $25,000. And should be probably, for $25,000, nothing elaborate, no more than a page, you know, but let's I think it's important we understand that we know what we're doing and there's a purpose.
Mr. Chair, could I clarify? The one-page project plan would be presented to this committee?
The appropriate legislative committee.
Okay, so it could be JLCIMT.
Mr. Chair, when would that be?
Whenever they're ready. Could be tomorrow or
6 months from now.
Follow-up question. So can they identify any efficiency savings because of these projects? Because when you reduce 3 to 4 days to minutes, when you say the customers can receive verification, is there any efficiency savings you can identify? So at the next budget cycle, you can make use of those efficiency savings.
Before you go, let me close the public hearing and go to work session.
Is this a question they can answer now?
Yeah, we'll just let him answer it in work session.
Okay.
So we're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5534 and open a work session on Senate Bill 5534. Now answer the question.
Chair Hill, Senator Yee, we would certainly, and that's one of the reasons we proposed this pilot project, is that we do see some savings, the license verifications. We continue to have more and more licensees, so we continue to have more and more verifications, and we're looking for a way that we can provide that more efficiently without adding more staff. But that's why I've used the word pilot, because we want to make sure that it is going to be designed and deliver what we want it to have happen. And we see that we are making a $10,000 investment. We think it'll pay off, and especially considering the amount of time that it takes to generate one now, it's going to be much better for both the licensees and the hospitals to be able to send one more quickly.
Mm-hmm. Follow up. So when you report this plan to either this committee or the other technology committee, will you include any anticipated efficiency savings in your report?
Chair Hill, Senator, yes, we will. We will do that for you.
And that would be, excuse me, good information for the committee to have.
Mr. Chair, and some views, I understand that. So it's a pilot project, so is that they're probably looking for that sort of thing. And you might not find any efficiencies. Maybe the increased workload makes it even. I don't know.
They can put that in the report.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We'll include it.
A motion?
Yes, I so move.
Okay.
Senator Duncan moves to reschedule the balance of the package 151, save $27,200, $25,000 for the interactive web applications, and $2,200 for the replacement of the firewall services, pending on the firewall service that the Board of Medical Examiners consult with the DAS security officer. And on the $25,000 that they return to the appropriate legislative committee with a no more than one-page project plan when they are ready. Do they understand? Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, and the report will include any projected
efficiency. Any objection? And see none, so ordered.
Thank you.
With that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 4, and we will open up an informational hearing on Senate Bill 5535, the Board of Nursing. Colleagues, the reason why we're in an informational hearing is this bill has actually already passed out, and so what we'll do is make a recommendation to reschedule. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair. Thank you. There's an outline again of the agency role, budget size, and revenue sources. As you correctly indicated, this budget was passed out by full Ways and Means and actually has passed through the Senate last Friday. The technology package in this budget was also unscheduled for $50,000. It facilitates the development of electronic commerce for licensees.
Welcome.
Chairman Hill, members of the committee, I'm Joan Bouchard. I'm the executive director for the Oregon State Board of Nursing, and on my left is Pat Miles, who's the business manager for the Board of Nursing. And we're here to provide testimony in support of Senate Bill 5535, and it's our package 102. The mission of the Board of Nursing is to regulate and protect the health and safety and welfare of Oregon citizens by regulating the practice of nursing in Oregon. The agency has been in existence since 1911. We're the largest health regulatory board in terms of the number of licensees that we regulate. And we regulate approximately 60,000 nurses, nurse practitioners, and nursing assistants in Oregon. The board's proposed technology package is designed to give the board the resources to accomplish several objectives: to improve the services to our licensees, to streamline board operations, and to address the citizen and licensee demands for service. I think you should know that the state of Oregon, as well as the rest of the United States, is experiencing a nursing shortage. For that, the Board of Nursing doesn't mean that we have less nurses, but what's happening is that there's a more demand for nurses in the state. And what we are also seeing is the Board of Nursing, because there's a demand for more nurses, there's an accelerated demand for the services that the boards provide. The nurses and the employees of nurses want the nurses licensed and on the job as quickly as possible. Throughout the 90s, we've tried to implement technology to assist us in agency services to get the licensees licenses as quickly as possible, but that technology has reached its limit in creating time savings. As long as a cashier must receive and deposit fees, a technician must handle forms, and incomplete applications must be sent back to a licensee for additional information, the additional time that could be saved for license renewal under our current system is minimal.
Let me interrupt you there. As I'm reading ahead here, you have a 24-hour phone. Is it are you utilizing 800 inbound?
No, we're not.
Okay, so, but you operate a VRU unit on that?
Chairman Hill, yes, we operate an IVR system, 24/7. That enables employees of nurses to call in and verify whether a nurse has a license and whether it's in good standing or not.
Do you have a project plan?
Chairman Hill, members of the committee, yes. Pat Miles will address that.
Okay. Chairman Hill, thank you. We provided some background information for the committee, and I would say it's an abbreviated plan at this time. There are significant uncertainties in this project. The scope of the project is, of course, to provide an interface between the DAS web front that is proposed, and I believe they're still working with you on, and our existing database. So we used some information they gave us to estimate the amount of this project. We're looking at, once their website is developed, we will be creating an RFP and bidding or advertise for vendor. Basically, all of those funds, the $50,000, is set aside for programming costs, a single line item. We don't think that we would be able to implement any time sooner than 9 months after the DAS website is completed, and we do understand that could be this summer or it could be next summer. We just don't think we should wait till the next budget cycle to begin work on this.
Questions?
Mr. Chairman,
we've
heard the technology package in Human Services Subcommittee, and they have given us a performance measure that they believe they can achieve with the use of electronic commerce in licensing and in renewal. is this a good time to share this information with the committee? Because they are hoping to reduce renewal from currently 8 days to 3 days with the use of the technology. And I think it shows the kind of efficiency we like to see happen when they use new technology. Mm-hmm. Do you want to make a copy for committee members? So it shows that the renewal is reduced from 8 to 3 days, and then the issuance of license or certificate from the time of examination to the issuance is reduced from 7 days to 3 days. So 4 days can make a difference in being hired 4 days earlier. And this is something we like to see, especially in the face of a shortage of nurses. So if this is something that technology can help them achieve, I think it's very worthwhile.
So you don't have a project plan per se, you're waiting, relying on that, maybe the underlying architecture, but you know what you're planning to go do, correct?
Chair Hill, representative members of the committee, yes, that's correct. We are waiting for DAS to develop the front end or the portal or the website, and then what we would like this $50,000 to do is to provide us with the development of linking that web, the DAS web portal to the board database so that we can do online renewals for our 60,000 licensees. And this $50,000 was calculated based on information that was provided to us by the e-commerce committee from DAS and working with our agency's IRMD analysts.
I thought we had a plan. I apologize. I thought we had a plan, just pending, but we don't have a plan yet.
Representative Hill, we have an informal plan, if you will. In the background information that we provided, it's about 3 pages long, and the plan starts in the middle of the second page with it's an abbreviated timeline, I suppose, is what I should call it.
Okay.
But the scope is very clear to us. We first would provide electronic renewals.
Yeah, these are all of them.
So you do have a plan. This is what we're talking about.
It's an abbreviated plan, but it is a plan, yes.
Okay. And all we're waiting for is the implementation side on DAS.
That is correct. Mr. Hill, we have a couple of extra copies of this plan.
Yes, suitable.
I'm sorry, we didn't. We thought we had that, and we didn't.
Recommendation would be to reschedule the dollars and just have them come to JLMTC prior to initiating the project in terms of when DAS. So, you concur?
Yes, I have, Mr. Chairman, I have the same question. Is there going to be any staff savings in the future after this is implemented? Because you're going to reduce the time it takes. to issue licenses and renewals.
Representative Hill, Senator Yee, we do believe eventually we will start to see savings. In the last 10 years, as we have implemented technology, we have found that the technology has not let us decrease our staff, but it has helped us hold the line against increases in staff in the area of licensing. We are very optimistic that if we can provide provide online editing, we will reduce the amount of time individuals are spending sending in things back in the mail and can focus on decision making. So right now we have one individual handling all of the RN renewals. It's unlikely that she would, you know, we'd go back to a half-time person, but we do think we would provide much better customer service with that one individual.
Mm-hmm. Chair Hill and Senator Yee, we also expect to save money on services and supplies. Right now, we spend over $25,000 just for mailing out of renewals, and we also spend like approximately $10,000 for envelopes and forms. We're hoping that by going to online renewals that we will also save in these areas.
Do you have any inbound 800 numbers?
No, sir.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman. During passage of this budget from the subcommittee, I did express concern that the administrative cost of this board is about 20%. I know you explained the some of the so-called administrators have some time put in direct services in programs, but I still feel it's pretty high. So I just hope that by achieving more efficiency in your renewal projects, you can also help to reduce some of the administrative costs. So this is what we hope you can achieve.
Mr. Chair, one added comment, and that is that the Human Services Subcommittee directed the agency to document savings from this project, and that is in their budget report.
Okay. So recommendation would be to reschedule the dollars and just have them come into JLMPC or the appropriate agency prior to initiating.
That is right, Mr. Chair.
Does that mean I guess we'll just, is there any discussion?
One point of clarification.
Sorry.
Mr. Britton, does this mean they're going to come in with a interim report regarding any progress in high administrative costs or efficiency savings?
Mr. Chair and Senator Yee, we ask them to come before the emergency board to talk about their performance measurements and how they are refining those, and I think that would be an appropriate time for them to talk about efficiencies and administrative costs as well.
Mm-hmm.
This recommendation would not require them to come before the emergency board, but it would require them to return to JLCIMT or another appropriate legislative committee before they implement this particular e-commerce project.
There would be review mm-hmm. prior to them going forward, which we could then address the issue of performance mm-hmm. and efficiencies.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none? Sure. Thank you.
I have a procedural question.
Yes.
It seems to me these budgets are going to the appropriate subcommittee and then they're coming back to us.
These are the ones that were ahead of us.
Okay, so henceforth now we'll see the
catch up.
Okay.
Because they've unscheduled a bunch of things in the other committees and then we're trying to get ahead of it, and we'll have, as we're going forward, committee members on the smaller agencies mm-hmm. and boards, we're going to try to make just a recommendation coming forward based upon the discussions we've had, the cookie cutter discussions. Okay. If there's any specific agency, we'll distribute that out before we go what the recommendations are. Debbie Bryant will be making those recommendations to us as we go forward, and then we can then pull anybody in that you want to specifically. Otherwise, on the smaller agencies, we'll just sort of adopt en masse a recommendation that can go back out to the appropriate subcommittees so they can adopt as they go forward, rather than forcing everyone to come here. But if there's a specific agency out of that list that you'll get coming forward with the recommendation you would like to come in and testify, then we will do that. We will, as a courtesy, bring
that. That's going to be helpful to the subcommittee to have our recommendation.
Correct.
Prior to
we're trying to,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We're trying to get caught up and get ahead of ourselves.
I understand, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Close the informational hearing on Senate Bill 5535. Let's open a public hearing on 5538. State, please. Barry, you want to bring us up to speed on where we are?
Chair Hill, committee members, the agency was in the very early stages of their presentation when we took a little bit of a side trip dealing with 911 last time, and so they're ready to basically pick up where the committee's interest is and finish their presentation today, as well as talk about some of the questions raised by Representative Patridge relative to the CGIS Advisory Board and their Enterprise Technology Plan.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Just one, I'd like to say I appreciate the state police as well as the information systems officer for the court meeting with me to share with me some of the work that they've done during the interim. I am, however, not comfortable yet at this point in time with that they met the budget goal, or I mean the budget note goal that we set out for them last session. I had the opportunity to go back over the weekend, review the 2 days of testimony that state police and the rest of the CGIS agencies had before the public safety subcommittee of ways and means. I don't remember if Senator Yee was on that committee or she was not on that committee. As well as the notes, if anyone wants those, I have those from in my office. I think we gave them some very specific and clear direction on responding to that budget note and still don't feel like that is done. I would ask that state police maybe meet with the CGIS agencies to at least kind of develop a timeline for how they would respond to a budget note of a similar nature. But right now, I'd just like to go through their current packages. I know that this is scheduled. I know that the state police start their budget presentation, I believe, next week, Larry, and probably will be in their budget presentations for approximately 2 weeks. Thereafter, that would give them some time to meet with the appropriate CGIS agencies, maybe look at a timeline, and I would be happy to meet with them. I think at some point we should have them before the committee, and frankly, for this committee, I don't know if the CGIS agency, I don't know if CGIS is the right body necessarily to deliver this, to deliver the package. I think that we need to deliver what I've asked them basically to give an analogy is to kind of step back and look at, you know, in the public safety community, we're trying to, we always try and connect things, and I've asked them to maybe take a step back and look back at kind of the forest and see maybe from an enterprise standpoint whether it makes some sense to do to make some holistic changes, especially with the database warehouse project and some other things. So I'm not going to go into that. I'd be happy to work with the agencies and keep other people on the committee apprised of, or at least the progress that I feel has been made.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mike Zanin. I'm the Chief Information Officer for the Department of State Police, and with me today on my far right is Major Dan Biscard. He's our Budget Director. And to my immediate right is David Yandell. He's the Director of our Law Enforcement Data Systems. And if I could just comment on Representative Patridge's comments, I've provided copies of the CGIS plan that we did during the interim. I'd like to make that available to the rest of the members, and I appreciate Representative Patridge taking time last Friday to meet with us and talk through what his issues and concerns are. And last Wednesday when we met with you, we had lumped questions number 1 and 3 in your presentation packet. In the first attachment, we have a list of projects we started to get through those projects just behind the word that says attachment. You're looking for, again, pages that look something like this. We're not going to start at the beginning of those projects because I think we touched quite a bit on the projects that are going on with the law enforcement data systems. And so if there's...
I just had one other question regarding law enforcement data systems piece. I was going back to look at your... I have your draft expense budget sheet that I'm looking at, and by not having the luxury of having the whole piece, is it anticipated in the governor's budget that there's going to be an increase in revenue that will be received for state police as a result of charging for LEDS terminals that is in excess of, because I see your little star, you say data processing budget reduction due to LEDS terminal user charge changes. Does that mean you're not going to charge? What does that mean? Can you expand on that, Danny, maybe, or...
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, for the record, Danny C. Bisgard. What you have in Governor's Rec is traditionally, and I probably will turn to Dave Yandell on this, traditionally we have charged for those terminals. We are making a change at the end of the biennium because of technology changes of not charging, working with our customers on changes that the locals will have to do to interface with LEDS. So Governor's Rec has reduced expenditure authority and revenue sources on that. And we have basically using CFAA Legislative House Bill 5010 to backfill what's needed in LEDS to take care of the training, the inlets charges, and those type of things.
Chair Hill, Representative Patridge. For the record, David Yandell, Director of LEDS. To your question, we conducted a series of user forums this last year, and as a result of those forums, developed consensus with our customers that they felt that we should attempt to develop funding specifically to cover all services that all LEDS customers realize benefit from. There are three specific areas that Major Bisgard just mentioned to you that about 170 of our customers have been supporting. That's our training and certification program, the cost of inlets, which is the National Law Enforcement Telecommunication System. That's a monthly a service that we pay for that actually connects us with all of the other states. And then our cost to access the DMV files is also an expense that had been incorporated into part of the dedicated terminal charge, which about 170 of our LEDS customers have been paying. The replacement revenues, which amounts to a little over $500,000, is contained in the legislative proposal under House Bill 5510. That is the dollar amount that you're referring to.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if I might continue, I was going to pick up on we talked about the three LEDS projects, the Public Safety Data Warehouse, the NCIC 2000, and the LEDS message switch upgrade. I'm down in this packet now to a project titled APIS 21. Again, we believe that these sheets contain the information that you requested for both questions 1 and 3. What projects are you doing that are policy option package, and what projects are you doing out of base budget, and what is the funding source for those? And we think we've tried to capture that. And I'll try to roll through these real quickly, and if you want to drill in a little bit, we can do that. APHIS 21, APHIS stands for our Automated Identification System. This project is being funded. The $340,000 that is listed here is for hardware and software upgrades that are going to be provided by the Western Identification Network. The WIN Network is a consortium of, I believe it's 7 Western states. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it's 7 Western states that participate. And they have formed an independent entity to basically design, build, and support this system. And then we pay for upgrades. Each state pays for a portion of the hardware software upgrades as the system needs to be upgraded. The benefits as listed here, we believe that the criminal justice agencies and the regulatory agencies will receive quicker response services for the identification of criminal offenders and persons applying for employment as a result of this upgrade that is going to take place during the 0103 biennium, and it's going to be funded through federal funds. That's the APHIS 21 update. The next project, complete CAD mapping system. What we're trying to do here, we have an existing CAD computer-aided dispatch system. Right now, we do not have the ability to, once a call comes in, to bring up a map of the location of the call. And what this is $20,000 of general fund. This is not a big expense. Our service provider is already worked with other states and their computer-aided dispatch system to be able to bring up the basically a digital map behind where the location of the call occurs. I want to make one thing clear. This is different than what we talked about the other day with the 911 mapping and the Master Street Address Guide. This is a very, very small utility that basically interfaces directly with the vendor of our computer-aided dispatch system. And I can tell you that insofar as we require any digital map data, we are going to go, first of all, to the Department of Administrative Services, IRM division, to see if we can use something from their digital map library in the development of this addressing scheme. This is a pretty small package, and it's not the same thing as the automated number identification, automated location identification project that was described by our 911 program the other day.
Let me ask this question. Is this built upon a GIS, or is this a closed system that could necessitate development of specific data only for this system?
It would be the latter, Mr. Chair. This would be a closed system that is going to be specific to the way I understand that it works is we have a kind of a master listing of kind of all locations, whether it be highway mile locations in the state. And what our vendor, our CAD vendor, proposes to do is basically put a latitude and longitude associated with all of those. And they're already doing it for all the states because they know they can sell this. And so when a call comes in and we enter it into a specific field, it reads that, goes over to the database and picks up the latitude and longitude and just simply brings up a map background and say X marks the spot here is all we're doing with that.
My only concern is that if we've gotten to a proprietary data structure that we don't have the value of all this GIS mapping that we have going on everywhere else. That would be my only concern, to make sure that we don't head down that path where you come back and say, oh, we need a little, you know, more money because we need to take all these maps in the state of Oregon and reformat them into a system. I mean, that's, you know, that would be a waste of money.
Mr. Chair, if I might, I think the fact that we're just using latitude and longitude, and really, I guess the best way to look at it is we're going to be able to take advantage of the digital maps that already exist within the state. We're not going to recreate those. What the vendor is doing for $20,000 is they're going to be building basically a cross-reference between all of the locations, road mile, intersections, and latitude and longitude, and they're going to be providing that for us and then basically building the interface on our screens to where we can bring up a digital map with the appropriate crosshatch. We're not recreating digital maps. We're basically paying for the privilege of having them build that cross-index to latitude and longitude for us. And that can be transferable literally to any system. The reason I said it's closed is because the vendor is the one that is kind of controlling this cross-reference thing database right now. But once you have the latitude and longitude, that really is transferable to any GIS system, my understanding. The next base budget project is CGIS technical assistance. And I guess what I'd have you do is there are three of these in a row that relate to the CGIS type activities, and they are all federal funds. And I think it would be best if I start by saying we don't necessarily have the funding. We have to go out and apply for the grants to be able to get this. We don't have the funding guaranteed for this. But if based on history and the success we have had in the past of being able to try to get funding for these kinds of activities, we're at least optimistic that we're going to be able to get funding to do these, and we wanted to bring them to your attention because it's certainly our intent to get the funding to do so.
Hey, Mr. Chair. How many FTE are assigned to CEGIS currently?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, within the Department of State Police, two part-time. Myself as the CEGIS chair, and then Lieutenant John Taney, who heads up the Strategic Information Management Programs. He provides a lot of staff support for the CEGIS program.
What is it? Follow up? Just, is it? It's two FTE, or is it one FTE? Is it half your time? Is it half John Taney's time? Is it a quarter John Taney's time?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, lately it's been about three-quarters of my time, but I think, you know, during the biennium, I would say it's probably 10% of my time, honestly, and likewise for Lieutenant Taney.
On the CEGIS, looking at the State Oregon report, references NORS on the CEGIS Criminal Justice Information Standards Program. I was looking at it, and there's the Criminal Justice Information Standards Advisory Board. In ORS 181720, the State Criminal Justice shall submit a copy of its information resource management plan to the advisory board. Do we have any of those? I mean, did anybody do that?
Mr. Chair, at this point in time, I don't believe we have updates beyond 99-01 biennium.
In part of a conversation that we had out in the hall regarding, in terms of maybe a methodology of moving forward here, I was looking at the other statutes that are seen around here, and led the state police can adopt rules establishing procedures for submission. That you already have statutory authority to adopt the rules necessary on, say, how data comes in. You've got, seem that you, with the Criminal Justice Information Standards Advisory Board, you have all the players named there. So if I'm not mistaken, in terms of, I'm just looking at the tools that already exist in statute, in terms of that we can sort of craft ourselves a solution out of this. I'm just curious in terms of there's some requirements that they submit reports. You have a rulemaking authority. I'm just, you know, maybe the answer is to sort of go out and use that authority to make the rules, and then we can come back and see if we're following the rules or not.
Mr. Chair, if I might, even though I mentioned that the CEGIS partners, we haven't gathered up the 0103, you know, biennial IRM plans, I can tell you that as we sat down to put the CEGIS technology plan together, people participated by coming to the table saying, here's what we are intending to do next biennium. So I think we have a pretty good feel of who's planning to do what systems are going to be enhanced, what systems are going to be replaced, and what we tried to do in the plan that you have before you is to identify ways that we can, you know, leverage the investments that are going to be made to further the integration of the data.
Representative Patridge?
And just so the committee's clear, I think I made this clear to State Police. My issue is CEGIS should be taking the lead to say, not for agencies to come to the table and say, hey, this is what we're going to do, to come to the table and say, this is what we're required to do by law, but this is the direction that we think. This is the direction, and these are the priorities for the criminal justice system as a whole to work together should be. And that's, I would agree, they have the authority to do that. They have the rulemaking authority to make that happen. And to my knowledge, it hasn't been used.
Do you know when the last time you reviewed the rules for the LED system?
Chair Hill, I'm not sure that I would, I guess, consider the LEDS rules to be specific to the Criminal Justice Advisory Board process. The LEDS rules, which are reviewed after every legislative session to ensure that any changes that result from legislation are taken into consideration. Are primarily the rules by which criminal justice agencies utilize to input information into the LED system. But as it relates to the conduct of the criminal justice information advisory board process, I don't know in the time that I've been at LEDs that I have assumed that they extended to that point to include the CJIS process.
I guess my point is that these are discrete elements. They're two separate pieces, and I'm pulling them together because it all resides in the state police are leading it. So in terms of you're on one side creating a plan which talks about the information interchange and the movement of data back and forth under the CJIS program, you've got an advisory board which is their advisory to the CJIS program, and then you are also have the authority to adopt rules on LEDs. One would tend to think that you could bring all those things together without us passing a, you know, another clarifying policy statute that says, you know, CJIS, here's the big picture. Advisory board tells the CJIS group, this is where we think the direction ought to be, and the LEDs is the database where all the information comes in and resides there. These are the rules that we've now adopted, we must follow. So, I mean, it's sort of that issue of if we have criminal justice agencies out there who are not inputting the appropriate records, I'm assuming then that there is a rule that exists that says you shall. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the OARs are. I'm just assuming that there is one there that says that, and if a police agency out there does not do that, they are in violation of the OAR. Would that be a leap or?
Chair Hill, I think your direction is correct. I think what we need to do is to go back and take a look at the existing rules and look at the rule from the vantage point that you just described. From our perspective, those rules are the ground rules by which we evaluate whether local agencies are managing criminal justice information in accordance with the rules, which in part also take into account FBI policy. But as it relates to, I guess, addressing some of the issues that you've raised, both you and Representative Patridge in our recent dialogue, I'd like to go back and take a look at those rules from that perspective.
I'm just curious in terms of what kind of time frame you think that a cursory review could be undertaken in terms of so that we could come back and maybe discuss that here. The more I learn about this, the more empathetic I am in terms of Representative Patridge and the fact that we sort of have these different silos all doing something, but nobody ever brings all the different reports together and says, let's actually go do something at the end of that.
Chair Hill, when would you like us to come back and report to you?
I'd have to check with Dallas. I think about 2 weeks. If we could come back and tell over the next 2 weeks, that would be within the time frame that would work with the budget.
Pick a day. Monday or Wednesday within the next 2 weeks.
My perspective, it shouldn't take us that long at all. So when you tell me when you want it, we'll have it.
How about Monday?
You got it.
As it relates back to these packages, the CJIS technical assistance, multi-agency information sharing. What is this paper? Is this hardware or is this people? We got almost $1 million here.
Mr. Chair, the CJIS technical assistance, for instance, this biennium, we hired, for instance, a facilitator to help with the development of the strategic plan, so it's consulting fees. The multi-agency information sharing project that we haven't spoken a whole lot about, but it's one of the projects that we have in pilot right now, is something called the InfoTech project, which is a cooperative project with the federal government, as well as four criminal justice agencies, the Judicial Department, Youth Authority, Department of Corrections, and Oregon State Police, whereby we're building a web-based interface that allows a authorized user to be able to access information on all four of those systems from a single query, single point of entry. We think this has a lot of promise. We're not ready to claim success yet because the project is still in pilot, and we hope to have a working demo within the next 2 to 3 weeks. What we've put in here, and again, we don't have authorization yet. We don't have the federal funds. We haven't gotten the grants. But if this holds true as far as the promise and the potential that we see right now, we think as we want to expand this to more data sets and more criminal justice agencies, we think this would be the kind of dollars we'd be looking at for the expansion of the InfoTech project, is what that $450,000 is about.
So which legislative committee approved the applying for the $450,000?
Mr. Chair, I don't believe there's been anyone that has approved the plan for the $450,000. This is as much a plug number based on what we think are going to be available for federal funds and how we might use those to support CJIS activities in the coming biennium.
So you have not applied for anything?
That's correct. We have not applied. And we would certainly come back before we did apply.
And just so I'm understanding, so this is essentially a project that would basically put a web front end to LEDS, essentially, and other data sources?
No, Mr. Chair, right now it would not involve LEDS. It would involve four different data sets, one within Judicial Department, OGEN, one within the Oregon Youth Authority, the JGIS system, the Laboratory Information Management System in the Oregon State Police, and the Departments of Corrections main system.
Representative Lowe?
Are all the partners in readiness to implement this? And to participate?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, they've been very cooperative. Again, everybody had to pony up a little money this biennium for the pilot. Adhere to the federal match requirements, but it's they've been very cooperative, and again, I think everybody is guardedly optimistic at this point in time.
Follow up, Mr.
President Law.
Where is the pilot site? Where's the pilot located? Is there a jurisdiction confined for the pilot?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, they are building interfaces at each of the locations, at each of the agencies. But once those interfaces are developed, again, an authorized user from any web browser could get in and access this information.
Who would be the user that would utilize this data?
Mr. Chair, right now it would be probably people within one of those four agencies, but it's certainly not confined to that because clearly if you're interested in any kind of offender information related to a specific person, at least initially for these four agencies, I would say any criminal justice, public safety.
May I re-ask my question? Let me rephrase the question so I get to the information that I'm seeking. Is this project within these agencies statewide, intrastate, interstate, what, within one county or two counties? What?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, this would be statewide for these agencies because, the data sets that I mentioned, they are statewide data sets for Oregon.
Okay, and my next, here comes the question that I wanted to. Does that mean that once this project is fully implemented that the same kind of information would be available across state lines within the western eight state region? Is that the goal?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, right now I think our scope is probably narrower than that. It's primarily state of Oregon, criminal justice, public safety agencies. Given the nature of the pilot, though, and the fact that we are using a web-based front end, there's nothing to prohibit. If we determined that there was merit in having an authorized user and California or Washington or Idaho be able to get in and access our systems.
I was just wondering, because the kids on the run, that sort of thing.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, I would agree that the technology doesn't confine it to the state. We can make this available to any criminal justice public safety agency. I guess the only thing I caution here, there's, I guess, expectation management. You know, this is a pilot. I think we've all told, including the federal funds, were, I think the state ponying up about $80,000. Don't hold me to that number, all told. And then the federal government kicked in about $80,000 for the pilot. And again, we're guardedly optimistic about the potential here. We're one of three entities in the nation that are doing this right now. There's a county in Florida and a county in California are the other two. And the federal government is throwing some money at this because they think it, too, has a lot of potential to be able to take existing investments in existing systems and expand the utility of those existing systems beyond where they're at today. I mean, it basically integrates the data with single query, single point of access.
So, I'm just trying to understand in terms of, so we've got multiple systems. I know what JGIS is, that's the juvenile system. Isn't this just the same data set that's sitting in the data warehouse? I guess I'm curious as to, we've got all these different projects, all essentially doing the same thing. Why don't we just mush them all together and just treat all the data as data and come up with a unified methodology in terms of how we access that data? You know, if it's a web front end, it's a web front end to the same technology as going to make ODBC calls to the database.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'd characterize it right now, the public safety data warehouse, as we described last week, as a very narrow focus to answer a specific question dealing with recidivism and the effectiveness of the adult and juvenile correction programs in, you know, reducing future criminal behavior. That's not necessarily a transaction-oriented type system. That is a gathering of data process itself. And we're not talking about building another data warehouse here at all. What we're talking about is building the interface to where you can link into live data, which really is more of a transaction-oriented approach to providing information on a real-time basis, because you're actually going into the databases in a secured way that reside in those agencies' systems. Does that distinction?
Well, I understand the distinction, but I'm just, it's the same data, though. It's, you know, you're going to populate in the data warehouse to get your recidivism. You're going to get that data over here, you know, so you're going to populate the warehouse with it, and then we're building now an interface over here. I'm just, you know, how do we mush all these together and have a single entry into this broad range of data sets? That's why I'm just sort of understand why, if you're going this, why wouldn't you give a web access to web as well? So in terms of saying people are sitting there, you know.
Chair Hill, the early discussions about the Infotech project was much broader than what is currently proposed, and clearly the practitioners that are working to try to develop the plan for this particular project envisioned that the result could be much like with a web browser and its ability to provide information from multiple points. It could be a very cost-effective means of interfacing with existing data systems within the state of Oregon. The interest of the federal government in this project is the fact that it could be, to Representative Lowe's question, it could be that project and the benefits of the project could be carried to other states to do similar criminal justice information access programs. The four that Mr. Zanin shared with you will be the partners for this particular project were primarily those that wanted to determine if, in fact, such an interface could be economically prepared to allow for access to data to operate on a day-to-day basis But if it looks like it's cost-effective, could be expanded to include other criminal justice information systems in the state.
So let me interpret that. So the $160,000 that we've already spent on this, can we answer that question?
Mr. Chair, again, the state's...
The 80 and the 80.
Yeah, that's correct. The pilot is not complete yet. So the
is that the question we're going to answer? Is it cost effective? That'll be the result of the $160,000. Is that we will have an answer that says it is either cost effective or not cost effective for us to go forward in this consolidated one view, pull data out.
I think that's correct, Mr. Chair.
And then this project, this $450,000, would be moving to a prototyping phase. I'll use that term to actually prototype the extraction of the data out of the multiple databases into a web browser.
Mr. Chair, again, this is a plug number based on as best estimate we could come up with at this point in time, not without a full appreciation for what it's going to take if we wanted to expand this to other criminal justice agencies.
Is that what the intent of this money, whether that's a real number or an unreal number, that is the intention of whatever the amount of money is, would be to actually do something and show it works.
That's correct. Okay. Then the last one, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, related to CDIS was the Refresh Criminal Records Improvement Plan. We spoke a little bit about this, I think, at our hearing last week. We talked about putting aside dollars to perform an audit of our computerized criminal history file. Our last audit took place back in 1994, and we're going to refresh that audit, and that's what this project is about. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I know I'm looking at the clock, and I'm sensitive at the time, too, and we've got several more projects under questions 1 through 3, and I haven't gotten to questions 4 through 13, and at the pleasure of the committee, I don't know if there's specific things you'd like to drill in on with the limited time that we have remaining.
Let's just power through these and we'll...
Okay.
We'll get there.
Mr. Chair, Office of State Fire Marshal has a couple different base budget projects. These are fairly small. They're going to continue to...
Right. We'll go there. On the $99,600, is there federal dollars? Do we have the federal dollars? Or is it a grant we have to apply for, or... we go spend the money July
1? No, Mr. Chair. We have to apply for these dollars. Again, we've been successful in the past, and we even contemplated not putting these in so as not to confuse you, but at the time, pretty confident about moving forward with these projects.
State Fire Marshal.
State Fire Marshal has a couple of different projects. Actually, three different projects that are going to take place out of base funds. These are all other funded projects. One is to continue development of electronic transactions. This is using their using web technology again to expand the use of their website. They're working.
What is the definition of other funds in this statute? Is it transferring from Israeli general fund dollars? Or
I think these are fire insurance premium tax, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's the fire insurance premium tax dollars.
Okay.
And with all of these, our Office of State Fire Marshal has been working very close with the Department of Administrative Services in coordinating the expansion of their project with DAS IRMD and what they're trying to do from a central web hosting standpoint. They also plan to do a GIS information pilot study. Again, they're working with the Department of Administrative Services IRM division and their GIS section. And what they want to be able to do is under the community right to know. They want to enhance, they collect a lot of information on hazardous materials, and they want to be able to locate hazardous materials using GIS technology and digital maps and do that through a web interface.
Where are these other funds coming from?
I think all of these are fire insurance premium tax.
Mr. Chair, if I may, You could have some fire insurance premium tax. You could also have community right to mill fees. A couple of projects talk about card lock, which is a separate fee, so you may have some various fees that fire marshal does collect would be used for these projects. I don't believe they're 100% fire insurance premium tax.
And the nature of this would be GIS maps on the internet, where you could go and see
yes, Mr. Chair.
Stores of toxic chemicals in your community.
That's correct. And they'd also be useful for fire service organizations to be able to have a comprehensive listing of hazardous material in a particular area. And GIS technology is well suited to that. And then there's also the last project for the fire marshal is a $13,900 project to expand client server operations. And basically,
that's this session, House Bill 2431.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
And in the absence of that passing,
Mr. Chair, if I may, we were directed by budget note to convene a committee, and House Bill 2341 is the report that's being given to this body. I'm not sure if it's been assigned yet to the committee.
I'm sorry. So 2431 is in this legislative session. And you were directed by a budget note from previous session to submit a bill?
To submit this report and to make report. There are some fiscal considerations to
that. What report?
House Bill 2431. It was a work group that was convened based on that.
Is House Bill 2431 in this session or was it last session?
It was last session, but it directed us to report back.
Okay.
And Danny, if you could speak to that, that bill has some proposed funding needed to carry out the work group, and it's not part of the governor's budget, to my knowledge.
Mr. Chair, and Larry, that is correct. It's not part of governor's rec. It's their report. They have come up with recommendations, but they do carry what I would consider quite a large fiscal impact, almost not quite $5 million worth of issues across this agency lines. And it's not in governor's record.
Mr. Chair, the last project is simply they're currently using Microsoft Access to process a lot of the information, and we're frankly running out of gas with that technology and the ability to distribute information electronically to some of the field deputies across the state's wide area network. And what we want to look at with this project to expand the capability and get into a relational database that could is a little bit more scalable and that could handle the ability to take in information and give out information across the state's wide area network. We need something a little bit bigger than Microsoft Access, frankly.
So you're looking at SQL Server?
SQL Server is probably right in line there because it is a little bit. Question, if you keep turning back now, we're on the summary of the IT expenses for this biennium. And again, I'm not sure what level of detail you want to get into that. And I'd turn this over to Danny if you want to highlight anything on here.
Right, assess. Sure.
I had a question on your personnel services. Your estimated expenses for 99.1 are $2.8 million. They jumped to $3.4 million during this biennium. I didn't see any policy option packages in the materials that we covered regarding any additional staff.
It was the very first project. It was a policy option package for the public safety data warehouse.
Okay, the data warehouse is the only policy option package then.
That's correct. Yeah. And Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, what you see here is a comparison of positions that we identify at IT throughout all the divisions of the agency. You do have merit increases, you have salary roll-ups in there, and you have different classification changes that have occurred. As I think we're all well aware, IS positions within the state, making sure that they're properly classified for the work that they're doing and try to keep the turnover down as much as we can.
Can you give us a document in terms of where those changes are and what we're doing there? It seems like a big...
Mr. Chair, I'd be...
...change there for just one new FTE.
Well, it's not, if I may, when you say one new FTE, I apologize that the policy option package does have an additional, has one position in that.
I understand. That's what I'm saying in terms of that. Looking at it, that seems to be a really big jump even with all those other things you talked about.
And if I may, on this worksheet, on the Representative Patridge had questions. What I've tried to do is, on the left side, try to define what I'm showing there, personal services, data processing, professional services, our funding sources, and I'm guilty of using abbreviations many times. GF is general fund, OF is other fund, federal fund, all funds. First column is estimated expenses, this biennium compared to budget, and the difference that you see there. And then where governor's rec is at this point in time, what is considered in base budget policy option packages. We've tried to go in and break out our expendable capital outlay by hardware and software for you, as well as capital outlay hardware and software. And again, just to remind the committee, depending upon your definition, if it reaches a threshold of less than $5,000, it's considered expendable. It's an SMS item. If it's over $5,000, then it's considered a capital outlay item. We do have some changes in professional services that I've tried to highlight. We do have a category that's for the LEDS message switch reengineering. That authority is sitting in the budget for LEDS as they move through that project. That's a base project. And then we also have a processing. You'll see some reductions there. As we talked earlier, as Representative Patridge pointed out, doing business differently, not charging the folks for terminal lines starting the end of July, excuse me, into June 30th, that data processing limitation, expenditure authority, and revenues have been reduced based on what we project we will need next planning. The last comment I would make is in Governor's Rec, Information and Communication Management Division did take a general fund reduction in base of $550,000. And that was part of a governor's rec as he was trying to balance with the available revenues. And so that's part of our reduction. The majority of that reduction came out of expendable capital out.
What are you spending on data processing of the general fund here, $1.3 million?
What are we?
I'm sorry. What items is it defined? That's the LEDS general change.
Mr. Chair, if I may, 99-2001, I can provide another detailed worksheet if I may. But the data processing ranges from data processing supplies to data processing equipment repair, LEDS terminal rental equipment, terminal lines, maintenance contracts, data processing software maintenance, and DAS services that we do, and some data entry services. And so there's a hodgepodge of those that I can provide more detail.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The only other thing I'm interested in getting, and I think we asked this, and we, you know, this is a new committee, so it's been developing, but we were interested in some of the staffing ratios. And I think we had asked that question. I think we'd asked that question before. You guys could just follow up because we're going to have another session. But if you could follow up on the staffing ratios, we'd ask for kind of a standard set of staffing ratios that you could get.
Mr. Chair, I can. I guess I have some of that information right now. If you'd like to, if you'd like to write it down, we.
We can just write in anything. Any other questions?
800 numbers. Do you guys have any inbound 800 coming into state police?
Mr. Chair, the question that we were asked that I researched was, did we have any out-of-state inbound 800 numbers? And the answer is no. We have a turn-in poacher, our tip line, and we have ready report every drunk driver immediately line. We have some in-state 800 numbers, but we don't have any out-of-state inbound 800 numbers. Mr. Chair, next in our presentation, we just had some high-level Gantt charts for the three main larger projects that we're going to be doing, the O103 Biennium Public Safety Data Warehouse, NCIC 2000, and the LEDS message switch. I provided those per your question. The next question had to do with... I think the next question that we, at least we haven't covered in the material thus far, would have been the cooperation with the Department of Administrative Services, the IRM division. And if you go back to, this is where the page number actually works for your handout. Go back to page 3 of your handout. Once we got back into the attachment, the page numbers were all over the board. But rather than walk you through each one of those, I guess what I wanted to do was to just kind of let you see the areas that we were currently working with DAS, have worked with DAS. There's about a page and a half of information there, pages 3 and 4. We use their computer systems. All of our telecommunications are using the telecom services provided by DAS IRMD. We've sent a number of our folks to some of the education that DAS provides. We're using the DAS, the project manager for the Public Safety Data Warehouse, through an intergovernmental agreement, is going to be a DAS project manager for the duration of phase one of the Public Safety Data Warehouse. We've got some cooperative agreements where we're giving them some space in our Bend facility. In turn, they're giving us a little bit more bandwidth in our Salem to Bend link. Quality assurance, we adhere on our large projects, we adhere to the DAS IRMD's quality assurance policy to pay IRMD 1% of the project costs. And then we've participated on a number of DAS-sponsored technology committees.
What are you doing with the current facility? You do backing up your databases?
Mr. Chair, I think I have the number here somewhere that we're spending, I think, about $5,000 a month for the automated, using the Burns Archive Center to back up our data. Again, I'm not sure if that was the exact amount, but I think I'm close there, if memory serves me well.
So do you have you don't have any you bill lottery for any of that in terms of your services? You provide a lottery? You don't have any data processing requirements with lottery?
Not to my knowledge, Mr. Chair. Life cycle of the system is being replaced. Was question number 8. And the LEDS message switch is 10 years old.
Thank you.
Talked about PCs and some of the replacements. We target a 4-year replacement cycle. We've upgraded our law enforcement management information system this biennium. We're done with that upgrade. The previous upgrade was 6 years ago. And then the dispatch consoles, we haven't talked a whole lot about this, but in our it's not really an IT project, but we're combining into the new facility we're building out on State Hawthorne. It's called the Central Communication and Coordination Center. We call it C4. We're closing down the Eastern Regional Dispatch Center in Bend and consolidating it with the Western Regional Dispatch Center into that facility. And as part of that, we have to buy new dispatch consoles. The dispatch consoles that we're currently using are over 10 years old. And
Mr. Chair, the equipment for the 4C is being financed with COPs is about $2.8 million of cost for equipment that covers that facility, and the debt service this next biennium is a little over $800,000 to repay those COPs.
Question 9, dealt with the replacement of desktop systems. If you throw in the laptops, we have about 1,400 desktop systems. And again, we're shooting for a four-year replacement cycle. There were questions about the use of thin clients in previous testimony before this committee. We don't currently use any thin clients. We believe that it may have some application for some fairly specific work processes within the department. We're thinking along the lines of some data entry. Part of our challenge is when you look at trying to implement a thin client technology statewide, with where you've got offices all over the state and varying degrees of telecommunications capability to those offices. If everybody was on thin client and the central system went down, you'd have a large number of people out in the remote field offices that may not be able to get their work done. But we think there may be some opportunity, and we'll take a look at it in the coming biennium, to use thin client technology, especially within headquarters and some of the Salem offices. Question 10 dealt with the anticipated life cycle of the new systems. Again, 10 years for the LEDs message switch, 4 years for the PCs, about another 5 years for our law enforcement management information system, and the dispatch consoles we're estimating at about 6 years right now. It also asks about database licenses. Question number 11 on page 6 lists what we pay annually for the our databases. We don't have any Oracle or DB2 that we're currently using. We're using primarily SQL Server and Informix. I think we have one small application that is a canned application off the shelf that uses Oracle as its base. But the maintenance that we pay on that is for the canned application and not to the Oracle Corporation. Asset management system, we have a fixed life cycle replacement. We're currently implementing Novell ZenWorks. Basically, it works with Novell's directory services to help us monitor and maintain our desktop. We can centrally manage the desktops from a single location, and we can also inventory what's on there from a single location. But we're also interested in having discussions with the IRM division, which we know they're talking about some asset management policies and practices that we're participating in. And then finally, we're not currently capturing any savings under ORS 291.120. And the last thing on here, we included in the very back of your appendix a list of the status of our current IT projects. And that was a question that we got. Representative Hill from, I think, your assistant had asked if we could provide that. And so we have several pages of the status of our IT projects in the back of your appendix.
Good. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. With that, we will close the public hearing on Bill 5538. And there's not any further business for the committee. No objection, we will adjourn.